Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 602. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up this week, good sir?
Hey, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, all things considered. We will probably have another visitation from the cat at some point, so I'm sure everyone has been enjoying those audio nuggets when they've come around, or at least I hope they have. Yeah, so just the usual, crammed in, some wrestling, before we did this show this evening, and, I was very happy that you told me do not go on Twitter, do not look at any reviews, just watch AEW, because, you know, there's a lot of, good stuff, I think, happening on Wednesday nights, in general, but that MJF and Jericho duet, it definitely stood well above and beyond anything else that was on TV that evening.
Yeah. I don't know. When I was watching it, I just kept asking Elise, what the fuck are we watching? Like, what just happened? Like, because remember, they never said, like, all right, so it started off as a steak dinner. And then it was a dinner with the debutantes, or?
Debonair dinner.
That was it. So right there, it took on, like, an old-timey feeling. Who the fuck says debonair?
Chris Jericho.
And it just, I'm trying to realize what it's actually a homage, or they took it from an old movie. Then that's what I was trying to figure out. But it was just strange because even Kenny Omega came out and he had like two dancing like showgirls. You know, I know they were using like the brooms, whatever else for the entrance. And then this happens, and I'm like, was there a theme this week? Like, what the hell's going on? But all right, so first,
I completely was not. I think because I was trying to mow through the show, I did not see the showgirls with Kenny Omega. Like, I am 100% positive I blew through his entrance.
Yeah, well, no, it's a brand new entrance, and it's like Justin Roberts lists all of his like internet accolades. Like Peter, he actually said it was actually Pro Wrestling Observer Wrestler of the Year. He has more 5-star rated matches and all this stuff. And it goes into this thing, and he's just a dick when he comes out.
Oh, and, okay.
And then that happened.
But yeah, this, I just missed the entrance. It would have been easy to miss that match, considering how quick it was, but I did not.
Yeah, what bizarre stuff. I mean, I know we've had like this stadium stampede match with them, and you know they've gone off like a little strange, like little strange parts here and there. But this was something, especially for AEW. Like, huh? Like, how does this? I don't know what. And this is where I'm conflicted because I enjoyed it just for the absolute absurdity.
Uh huh.
Like, all right, did you watch, was it season 2 or 3 of American Horror Story?
Yeah, I was still in at that point.
Okay, it was Asylum.
Oh,
and
yes.
Jessica Lange all of a sudden goes into that musical number for no reason.
Yes.
That's what this reminded me of. And then it goes back to all the awfulness, and you're like, what the hell's going on here? And I don't know. It got people talking about AEW. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but
yeah, like that's one of those ones where I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of cool. Like I am definitely guilty of being at least a voice that says, "Why don't you just try weird shit? Like, see what happens." It would have made a little more sense to me if they had broken out into song and it had all applied to wrestling. But I got a little bit confused. Like, it just did seem like they had lifted, like you said, the song, song is an homage to something else. And it seemed like they kind of went back to the original, verbiage from time to time. And I think that that kind of caused some problems in some ways. Like, if it would have been more of a jousting verbal match between MJF and Jericho, I think I would have liked it more. But like you said, like I did enjoy it. I'm like, man, you know what? They're taking a chance on this, and it's something different. I asked for something different a lot, and they definitely delivered. And I mean, they put a lot of time and thought into the whole thing too, it would
Yeah.
seem.
I mean, because it wasn't perfect, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Like, in the context of everything, like, what the hell was this? Like, remember the Inner Circle was cool? And now
Oh.
they've got their leader's a quasi doofus who, I mean, I don't know if this is going to be one of those, like, I mean, and that's part of the fun of this, is to see where it goes. Is because this is just Jericho trying to keep MJF at like arm's length, or is this like MJF's way of like slowly breaking down Chris Jericho, that sort of stuff?
Right.
Because I don't think Fozzy's touring anytime soon, so he doesn't need to leave. But
Yeah.
I don't know. I was totally taken by surprise, which I'm
Oh.
guaranteeing. I mean, everybody had to have been.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think that part of things has to be universal. Like, I guess I'm like, mostly in favor of what happened there. Like I said, I feel like they could have weaved in a message better there, but other than that, like, it was fun. They really seemed into it for whatever reason. Like, it kind of cracks me up. Like, I still don't think Jericho is a terribly good vocalist, even for a rock band.
No, because if that was actually MJF singing, his voice overpowered Jericho's. The whole thing. And I know he was singing lead, or MJF was singing lead, and Jericho was like, the background or the backup singer in a certain way. But yeah, I thought that stood out. Like, he don't sound that good. And I don't know. Maybe that was just their way of like, everyone expected something, and they're like, "Nah, this is what's gonna happen." And then,
Well, and I guess I foolishly was hoping for a resolution to this weird pissing contest that they keep on having. I didn't get it, so I don't know if that gives it minus points for me also, but yeah, when they're like, oh, well, we'll have a conclusion, because what are they doing, a town hall or something? The Inner Circle's doing some weird town hall or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, haven't you talked to them already? Like, even on screen, I'm like, this is getting a little repetitive here, guys. Like,
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You brought up a good point. Like, everything's supposed to be realistic. Like, I watched like a shot of Brandy because John Silver was on, and she had security because he's in the Dark Order. And then Anna Jay shows up at the end and beats the hell out of Brandy. So they still kept it, like in kayfabe, whatever you want to say it.
oh, yeah.
Where this is like, all right, you guys have clearly shown you can text, you can Zoom all the time. It's like you guys haven't gotten all this taken care of. Unless, again, I guess it's kind of the beauty of it, because if this is WWE, you'd be like, well, no, of course they don't. Or they have been talking, they know exactly what they're doing next week, and, that's how
Oh.
this is going to go down.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is one where I am more than willing to let it come to its conclusion. Like, I might be getting tired of it a little bit, but because when's Full Gear?
I just looked it up, November 7th.
Oh, okay. So they have another couple of weeks. So yeah, like this thing isn't stretching out to Full Gear, or at worst, it definitely ends there. So I do think that this, you know, verbal jousting match will kind of come to a conclusion soon. But that was, you know, it's one way to keep it fresh when you're doing it, because, you know, neither MJF nor Jericho wrestle in ring much.
No, I would say the handful of times. What was the thing with the ring? That tournament they had with the ring that MJF has? I can't remember the name of it anymore.
That's
one of the only times I really remember him being on free TV.
Oh. Yeah. He if he's on free TV, 9 times out of 10, it's a tag team match. And even then, he doesn't really wrestle a lot of tag team matches.
I think he lost that one, right?
He
did, but Wardlow did, to Jungle Boy and Jurassic Express.
Yeah.
So Luchasaurus should have been the easy one. But yeah, I'm just
Got to get the Jurassic and the Express there.
But I guess I want, like, I wasn't given what I wanted. I wanted to see an actual back and forth debates, whatever. Like, two bad guys trying to outdo each other. And instead we got singing. So I guess in that part I didn't like it.
Oh.
But I also trust Jericho's decision making to where, I mean, they stretched out that Shawn Michaels Jericho stuff for a long time. Same with the Festival of Friendship with him and Kevin Owens.
Oh.
Only to have Owens turn on him when everyone thought Jericho was going to turn on Owens. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, so that's why I'm not jumping all over like, this is terrible, blah, 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 but it was definitely probably one of the more bizarre things, because we didn't know what to expect from the Boneyard match.
Oh, and that right. was great.
And then we weren't sure, we knew we were going to get something weird, we thought, because of that, with Bray and John Cena. Boy, did we. And then since then, all these like cinematic matches, whatever you want to call it, they seem to be playing for comedy.
Oh.
I mean, look at Money in the Bank. There was far more, I mean, even the way Otis won the briefcase was a joke.
Oh.
So.
Right. Yeah, so it literally fell into his hands.
Yes. Very odd decision making in that, but I don't know. WWE, I expect that was something WWE. I don't know. Never mind. I wouldn't have expected that from WWE. This was clever and it caught you by surprise. I don't remember WWE doing any of that in a long time. So,
no, there have been some things that I've liked video package wise that the WWE has gone back to a little bit recently. Like, I've enjoyed the Bianca Belair little segments that they've been doing. Like, and I feel like they did that for someone else somewhat recently where, yeah, it's not as out of the box as what Jericho and MJF just did, for sure. But it is a way to present characters that they haven't really done in a long time in these kind of, like, staged video packages.
Yeah.
And
I miss those. I mean, that's how you used to introduce people. I mean, I hate dwelling on, like, the 80s, because that was a master time. That's a master class of that stuff. But then, like, we even had, like, when the Wyatt family came up, we had all those creepy vignettes.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, okay, that's who these guys are. All right. I can't think of anyone lately.
No, it's been like the Wyatt family might have been the last set of that happening, which is probably, and I'm almost embarrassed to think that's probably like 5+ years ago that that started, and I feel like it happened yesterday.
Yes, because they were so, they were off the chain hot and just wrecked them. So
yeah,
I'm honestly trying to rack my brain for somebody else. I know we're missing somebody.
We don't.
I mean, NXT did this stuff.
Well, and that's
that doesn't count.
Well, I feel like NXT has definitely picked things up, you know, a notch recently with some of their filming of segments. Like Io Shirai's speech again, or vignette again this week, or whatever promo. Like, I don't know exactly what you want to call that, but they kind of really have something, not kind of, they really have something going with how they're presenting her as champion. Like, it's awesome.
Uh-huh. Yes. And it's like one of those where you're like, I guess because we didn't get a chance to see it, I wanted to see Kairi Sane and Asuka go at it. We never got it.
Oh.
And this is like, we better not miss out on Io Shirai and Asuka. Like a real match between them two.
That would be badass.
Oh my god. I wouldn't know who I'd want to win. I just, kind of like when Nakamura and Sami Zayn went at it in Dallas.
Oh.
That match was incredible.
Right.
And I didn't care who won. I mean, even though we knew Nakamura wasn't going to lose, but
hey.
Yeah. But to get back to AEW, because I'm like, we always talk about NXT more. So,
oh. Yeah, that's fine. Let's, yeah.
I don't know how I felt about this week's show. Like, it's weird to me. The Eddie Kingston Moxley stuff is, those promos are ridiculous. Eddie Kingston's really good. I never saw this Eddie Kingston. I mean, never.
Yeah, like, obviously he knows how to deliver a promo. But I kind of wonder if the situation that he's come in on has worked to his benefit, and I would be interested to see if he can continue this level of promo work. Because, yeah, I guess I've seen him enough that I'm like, oh, okay, what, you know, like, I saw a lot of people clamoring for, you know, him to get signed by AEW after his tryout match, but I'm like, or whatever Cody was calling those matches.
Yeah.
And, like, I wasn't terribly excited about the whole thing. Like, I know that John Thorne from AIW really loves him, but, like, it was one of those things that I just... Because he's one of those guys that is kind of out of shape. Like, I guess the promo work never stuck out at me when I did see him on stuff. So, you know, I guess I don't know if he can keep on doing that well. Because, like, the material that he's delivering right now is... spot on and perfect, but it's because he has this very valid history with John Moxley.
Yeah, which I had no idea. So.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know. And even if it's a made up story, I guess I don't really care. Like, he's really selling it if it's not a real story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. But I mean, they are almost making the match a little bit of a, and I'm not surprised, a foregone conclusion, I feel like.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, it's no personal offense, but no one knows who Eddie Kingston is. And I keep wanting to call him Kofi Kingston, by the way, so if I pause, that's why. But outside, like, I know AEW's fans will say, yo, you know who he is, of course. But to a wider audience, they're like, who's this guy? And I guess that's the point of talking you into it. But I can't see him doing that because AEW's a little bit smarter than this. And I honestly think whoever wins the turn like this tournament is the person who will beat Moxley, or something happens and that's why they don't. But anyways. Yeah, I don't know. It's compelling TV. That's for damn sure.
Oh, and, yes.
You know, and then him going, oh, you're going to have to go to a dark place. And I was like, I live there. I was like, Jesus. Now, the one problem I have, though, is he's leading all these guys who constantly are fighting with each other. Oh. And then all of a sudden, he brings the bunny back. And I'm like, okay, let's let this weird thing play out because it was the Butcher Blade, then Butcher Blade the Bunny, and everyone knows that Braxton Sutter is, or whatever,
Yeah, that they're married.
They're married. Then all of a sudden, she's back to Allie, hanging out with Brandy, and like flirting with QT Marshall. And now she's just back with her husband. Like, what?
Yeah, like...
No payoff.
Even though they tried to kind of storyline that, it's just, that's another one of those things that they're just like, yeah, this whole thing was awkward. Let's just kill it. Like, I don't, yeah, that's an idea of, I'm not sure why it became an idea.
Well, Sutter said that he didn't want, like, they don't necessarily have to be together. I understand that. But if everyone knows you're married, and I guess they, I don't know, I don't follow either one of them on their Instagrams or social media or whatever, but it's like if they, everyone knows they're together, but you see her like flirting whatever else, and this guy's trying to get on her, and he's still there, and it's like...
He's not doing anything about it.
Yeah, like the Butcher Blade should have came out and beat the bejesus out of him. You know, just in like manly terms, like, oh, get around my woman, I'll beat the fuck out of you. Like, if there would have been like a Natural Nightmares, which is a horrible name. Okay, I gotta shut that off. That's not supposed to be happening. Jesus Christ. Sorry, that totally broke my concentration. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not early in the day to be getting constant text messages.
Oh. Well, yeah, like they've done too much waffling. There has been a lot of waffling in AEW, and this is just another one where, like, when I did hear him make those remarks, or I don't know if Chris informed me about them or what exactly, it's just like I still half expect it. And I think we pretty much got out. I think we got out of it this week. You know, Allie would be good in the women's division. Why is she not, in the ring? Like, they desperately need help over there. And from what I remember seeing in I still call it TNA, Impact Wrestling, she seems like she's better than most of the women that are on the roster.
Yes.
So, like, okay, cool. Like, I'm fine with splitting them up, but having her flirt with another guy is a weird choice, and having her not be in the women's division is a weird choice, unless she signed a valet-only contract. I guess that's possible?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess. Yeah, I mean, she gets physical here and there. But
oh, yeah,
if there was some payoff to it, but there was nothing. She gets mad at QT Marshall, leaves, and she's back with her husband. But they never say she's back with her husband. They're just, I'm like, I don't have time for this. Like, you know, the brain shuts off. Like, they flopped around with that so often that it's just like, okay. And then.
Yeah, like, I would probably be more angry about that happening if I didn't care, or if I in any way cared about that whole situation. Because, yeah, like, Kingston with those three and with whatever Pentagon wants to name himself these days, and Rey Fénix. It's such a weird combination. And then, like you said, like I half the time when Pentagon and Fénix are in singles matches, I swear it's against each other.
Yes. Now, by the way, I don't mind because that match was pretty fucking awesome. I had a very good time watching that. So.
Yeah, yeah, they always put on a show when they are in a match against each other.
Yes.
And it annoys me less than them being a tag team because then they're not playing by Lucha rules, but no one actually says that out loud, which then proceeds to annoy me even more.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's like the wrestling on the show was good this week. That match was really good.
Oh, yeah.
The Kenny Omega Sunny Kiss thing was great.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did text you, even though I missed his dancers, like him just being a complete dickhead, Kenny Omega being a complete dickhead, and A, finishing Sunny Kiss off in the shortest possible way was pretty hilarious, really. Like, it's what he... And I think your answer to me was that's what he should be doing. And
yes,
you can't word it any other way. Like, yeah, there is no reason that Sunny Kiss should be getting in all that much offense on Kenny Omega. And even
he shouldn't be in the tournament.
Oh, well.
Nor, all right, this is always the problem. AEW set expectations when they first announced the company and how they were going to present things, how they were going to do things. And they clearly have not done that. The problem lies with me going, no, you said it would be this. This number one contenders tournament is hilarious.
No.
Joey Janela? Have you ever seen him win a singles match? Why would he have ever been in it? It makes no sense.
No, he shouldn't have been in it. I have seen him win matches, but it was probably like when AEW was first on TV.
The only time I remember him having, like, a match, he lost to Cody, and he lost to Jon Moxley. So,
yeah,
okay, I mean, he's been in a tag team with Sonny Kiss, but they're not winning.
Oh, and they were mostly a tag team in name because each of them ended up getting singles matches when they were a tag team on television.
Yes. Look at, I mean, even not even that. Wardlow? Jungle Boy? What?
Yes on Wardlow. Because what, they just say he's 9-0 this year after that win? So he was 8-0?
What?
Yes. The announcer said that he's 8-0 this year. And I do feel like he's been in... Or maybe they said that was in singles competition. Yeah, he's just been in some squash matches for the most part. Like, they haven't really put him in too many high...
You know what, that's true. I've not been watching Dark all that much. Because that show's 2 hours, and I'm like,
oh. Yeah, well, that's the other possibility, is that he's wrestling some of these on Dark.
Yeah, but I'm also thinking, like, I know Lance Archer just lost, but why wasn't Brian Cage in the thing? I mean, I guess...
Because he likes having the fake belt better than being...
Let's not even start with that. It's so stupid. Anyways.
It's
like the $1 million belt. If they would just say he just made his own championship because Taz is an egomaniac.
At least the $1 million belt looked good.
Well, you don't like the cardboard or the...
Yeah, I mean, that is basically a Burger King crown of championship belts.
It's, yeah, because the up-up-down-down championship looks better than that, so yeah.
100% does.
Yes.
100% better.
Yeah, I there's so many little things they do wrong, but Adam Page and Cole Cabana was really good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, because that was another one where Paige was kind of shown as superior, but the 20-year ring experience came in to play for Cabana. So, he should not have been getting squashed as much as Sunny Kiss was.
Oh, no, no. And I love Kenny Omega at the end. No, come on, seriously, come on, come on. No, it's all for you, it's all for you. It's like, what an asshole. But it's better. I mean, when AEW was first born, everyone was like, oh my god, the greatest wrestler in the world is going to be in this company. We're going to see him on TV just mopping the floor with it, whatever. And he's been nothing but average. And putting other people over, which I know is a conscious decision, but it's not what everyone wanted. He should be the face of that company.
Yeah, or at least one of the faces.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, I think any combination of us have discussed, they were too conscious of just putting themselves over, and it worked to everyone's detriment. Like you said, if they rattled off all of his awards, I'm sure that Justin Roberts went on for entirely too long then. And
it wasn't too long, but it was long enough to be obnoxious. So.
But yeah, I mean, Omega has just had very few meaningful singles matches. And I mean, it's one thing to consciously not put yourself over. It's another thing to take yourself and another one of your top singles people out of the singles equation for almost your entire first year on TV. That's a terrible decision.
Yeah, I really didn't agree with it, especially because it seemed like as soon as it started, it was all about Cody.
Yeah, Cody is the only one in the group that it's like, oh, nah, fuck it. I'm getting a championship and I'm keeping it.
Yeah. And that was one thing that cracked me up yesterday was Cody's not a dig, but he's like, I put on more muscle because, this is a light heavyweight company and I'm kind of like the giant killer around here. And I was like, that's not a good look. Like, for all these monster, like, heels with a good run coming, and you beat every one of them. It's like, no.
Yeah, and I mean, he's still only going to be so big.
Oh, all right. Before we go to NXT, the four-way match at the end between the tag teams, it was fun.
Oh,
that brawl at the end, though, when they, I guess maybe they're really good at this, but when both, Matt and, oh gosh, I'm back to Dawson and Dash, but Cash and...
Yeah, I can't remember who's who these days.
I forgot. Anyways, they both came up, bleeding from the nose, and they kept fighting with each other. And then even after they, broke Matt's ankle or whatever, he just kicks the leg out from formerly known as Scott Dawson. And then he just looks down, what the hell? Jumps down on him. And I was like, are these guys really fighting? This is great. That's the most realistic Young Buck shit I've seen in forever.
They have definitely not helped themselves by indulging the Young Buck style even more than normal.
Oh, yeah, I know.
This was a nice departure from their style. And FTR is just kind of the anti them in a lot of ways. They're trying to get over old school wrestling. Not that it takes much, honestly, especially with how they work things, but Yeah, it's an interesting clash of styles, and yeah, I still don't think the Young Bucks have gotten themselves over the right way, and I guess I don't feel sympathetic for them getting their asses handed to them, considering that they've just gone around super kicking announcers and other people who don't deserve it.
Yeah, I got no sympathy. It's like tough shit. Doesn't mean you should break someone's ankle or whatever, but I don't care. Now, the only thing I really do not enjoy about this is the inclusion of Tully Blanchard. Look, yes, he's a legend. They don't have to be involved. And, like, the chair shot or whatever, I was like, oh, that's Tully Blanchard. Like, that weak shit.
Oh, yeah. Like when they were questioned, when the announcers are like, oh, who is that? And I'm like, oh my God, the guy can barely move around the ring. Are you fucking
Yes.
kidding me?
And the best part was, I don't know, I can't remember who said it. Excalibur, I think. He goes, oh my God, it's Tully Blanchard. And I think it was Jim Ross that goes, of course it is.
I
He didn't
missed
say it quite like that, but he
that.
said it in that Jim Ross tone, like, it's dumb. But, like, who do you think it would be? Their manager's not out there. So, but I enjoyed it. It's like I don't think it's gonna happen in Full Gear. It just, and I'm still sticking to this, and this goes to something that happened in NXT as well. The Bucks and FTR deserve a real crowd. Now, I know we don't know when that's gonna be. I get it. But it's gotta be more than what they're in front of now. Just like Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, like, you know, having a huge brawl or fight, whatever, that deserves an audience. And maybe it'll happen in Full Gear anyways, maybe not, but Moxley losing the title, that needs a crowd. So
Oh.
I don't think it's going to happen yet. And I'm wondering if that was their, not cop out, but it's their way of extending things. Which no one will be happy because, like, you know, his ankle's not really broken. It's like, well, Matt also sold a back injury for 2 years. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say just when he's done having back injuries, he has an ankle injury now. Yeah, I'm fine with them kind of extending the feud. Like it really, because they haven't really directly gone against each other, like they've done these kind of petty piss you off kind of things to each other, but they haven't really, been insulting to each other. Like I think it just, with all the hype that's kind of been surrounding this feud for a while at this point, it kind of deserves more than what's happened already. Like, because the Young Bucks, I guess even though I haven't liked them super kicking everyone and their brother to, I guess, get over, they have featured themselves more prominently and as a better tag team than other people finally. And you and I might have talked about it, but I was okay with them losing to Private Party in the tag team tournament. Like, it's one thing to sell in early adversity story for the greatest tag team in the world. Again, it's another thing to have that adversity last this long, like a year and 4 months or whatever it's been.
See, I didn't like it when they first lost. I thought it would have been better if, they come out, they beat them, like, yeah, and everyone's like, oh, they're winning, then have someone upset them.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it, like, build it up to where, okay, now I know it was supposed to be more shocking that it was the first round, whatever, but, the way they had hyped up Private Party back then, it just seemed like that was going to happen. So it wasn't a huge
Oh,
shock, but.
yeah.
And then also, they can still play it off. If you notice that roll up at the end, I can't remember which member of Private Party it was. His shoulders were not down on three. It was clear as day.
Oh yeah, Isaiah Kennedy. Yeah, like I was just like, did they really just count? I was like, that was awfully close. Like, I'm not sure that I knew that he got his shoulder up for sure, but I was like, oof.
Yeah, they even made a point of showing the replay because his shoulders were up. So there's another way out of it, too.
Oh. So,
yeah, it's just... So, what I was going to say in AEW, or in NXT, it's not... Well, one, it's not nearly on par with this, but the whole Killian Dane, Drake Maverick stuff is great. When, you know, I know they lost by disqualification and Drake was all put off, whatever else, and, you know, Killian lets him off the hook. I thought he was going to start dancing.
Oh.
Because you know that's coming. You know he's going to start dancing that theme song.
Yeah.
And when he does, there needs to be a crowd. Because the crowd will be going nuts to encourage him. And then when he does it, the place will explode. Now, whether that be in front of 5,000 people, 500 people, whatever they have, it needs, like, a legitimate arena. Not this garbage Capital City Wrestling boring shit they're in.
Oh.
Which, by the way, I don't think I commented on this last time. That set fucking sucks. It is boring. I mean, why does NXT have to have absolutely no color at all to it? It's just black with, like, whatever smoke effects they have.
Black Jesus with chain link highlights.
Which you're allowed to smack your opponent's head into, I guess?
That
was one of the only things in that triple threat match, which was awesome to start the show.
Yeah. Yeah, evident. Well, I can't remember when triple threat matches all became no DQ matches.
Weren't they always like that in ECW?
Maybe, but I guess I don't remember, like, I feel like recently, like, in the WWE, I feel like just more WWE than anywhere else, just because I feel like they don't have as many rule-breaking matches as other organizations.
Yes. Oh, that was another thing. During the tag team match on AEW, Jim Ross even mentioned, hey, there's no disqualification on this, so this could get a little wild.
Oh, right.
Then they go to picture-in-picture, and all the wild shit happens then. Matt Hardy comes out and gets in a fight with Sammy Guevara. Or Sammy comes after Matt, one of the, doesn't matter. John Silver gets involved. John Silver, what the hell did he start doing?
They cut back from commercial right when he was kind of going bonkers.
Yes, but there was also something during the commercial break he did. I can't remember what it was. And then there was something else, and I'm like, this is all the cool shit. Like, this is all the spice that go to the match. And we just missed it all during commercial. I was like, God damn it. Anyways, but...
Somewhere along the line, like, even the WWE's like, oh yeah, fuck it, these are all no DQ matches. And I'm like, it's just become, like, I don't know when that transition happened, but, like, this was just one of those matches that it kind of hit me. And I'm like, when did this just become a thing?
Yeah.
I did really, I enjoyed that opening match. I'm happy that Kushida has been a longtime favorite in my head, so I'm kind of happy that he seems to really be finally taking off in NXT here.
Yeah, I dug everything about it. I know Velveteen's kind of cooled off a lot, so it's not really kind of. whether it's his doing or not, it doesn't matter. He just has.
Yeah.
It was good to see him still performing, though. And I know a lot of people are, like, soured on him because, like, whatever outside-the-ring stuff he's doing, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still, he's still talented. He's still young, too. So there's still a way to get his shit, your shit together, son. But
Maybe. It did not help the Pirates' former closer did not did not do himself any favors by participating in similar activities.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, you know, but...
Yeah, I think he's doing, like, life at this point, but, anyhow.
Yeah, so anyways, the match is still really good. And I've always loved the cast gimmick, because it makes no sense in wrestling. But then again, you watch other sports, especially football, where a guy breaks his thumb, he's got a giant-ass cast on his hand, and he's still using it. So
yeah, weirdly enough, Bob Orton's gimmick was like a precursor to, because like I don't remember them really being allowed to wear a cast like when we were children in the NFL, but I feel like now they're like, oh yeah, whatever, go for it.
Oh yeah, which some of these things, my God, they're like casted over and then a cast on top of that. So they're carrying on the sledgehammer, basically.
Yeah, it's it gets pretty weird. So yeah, it's not as strange now, but it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm like, you have a broken bone, like you're gonna rattle that thing even if it's in a cast.
Yeah. I mean, I know his isn't, but it's still. I mean, I'm with you. So. But yeah, and then the show had some really good stuff. Johnny Gargano is just incredible right now. What was the first one? Buried Alive match. It's like, oh, cool, I'm gonna die. You're gonna cover me in dirt. Great. And he spins the wheel again, gets a casket match. And he goes, what is this? Why does this wheel want me to die? And Candace is like, oh, street fight. That's great. I'll take you out. He's like, yeah, of course you will. But then I'm gonna be under the ground. I'll be dead. I'll be buried. And he doesn't like wheels, which is hilarious. He didn't say circles, I guess, but if you looked at his dinner mat, what are the things called on your table?
Dinner mat.
All right. I don't think I've ever actually said that word before. All right. So, anyways,
first for everything.
They looked like wheels. They were actually legitimately looked like wheels. And I was like, okay, you know, like they take all this time to make a mini wheel to like, you know, oh, he goes, oh, what are the odds of me getting a Baron Alive match? 1 in 1,000,000. She goes, well, actually 1 in 16. Oh, that's great. That sucks.
Oh yeah. That was some pretty entertaining stuff.
He's been great with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, he has been great. It's nice to see Candace, you know, kind of blossoming with him, but still going like a little bit behind.
You know, I think that even with Indy Hartwell in her corner, I do not have any inkling in my brain that she's going to become the women's champion. So. You know, it's another one of those matches that it's just, it's going to be fun no matter what, because that wasn't their actual wheel spin, correct? Like, that's going to come at Halloween Havoc proper.
Right, no, they were practicing.
Right, okay,
They were practicing to get ready for whatever would come. So, like, her saying, oh, street fight, that'd be great. Like, okay, she liked that one, only spun once. He tried both, and both of them were Undertaker gimmicks, which were pretty funny. So, yeah, and then I'm trying to think, like, you know, the theme throughout the night, the Undisputed Era keeps getting taken down.
Yes.
I don't know if we talked about this last week, so if we did, it's fine. I don't get Dexter Loomis. Yeah, we did. I still don't get Dexter Loomis. But
that his segment was almost a comedy segment this week.
Anything with Cameron Grimes feels like a comedy segment because he's great. He goes, well, you know what? I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna go to the moon, and I'm just gonna walk off. And like he said, Mr. Regal's accent can be kind of thick, so you sure he said that? I really like Cameron Grimes too.
There's a lot of fun talent on NXT. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess Dexter Lumis wrestles well enough these days I think the way I always word it is that at some point he's going to need to talk, or he's going to need to have more than just be creepy is the gimmick.
Yeah.
They're still going with this thing. I don't know how long they're going to go with it. I would have to think that it's going to die a death at some juncture, but it's not yet.
Yeah, it's like, what happened to Lumis and Velveteen Dream? I don't remember them having a match or having a blow-off or anything like that.
Yeah. Velveteen Dream started his beef with Kushida and it got dropped.
Well, wasn't that when Dexter Lumis got hurt, though?
Yeah, that is when Lumis got hurt. Okay. And all that stuff came out it came out again about Velveteen, I guess, around that same time period, too.
Gotcha, yeah.
That really put a whammy on that storyline.
Yeah, and I guess they just like, well, we're not going back to that, so.
Yeah, let's just forget about this one.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's all right.
What do you think about your boy Austin Theory quitting NXT?
I don't like, dude, I'd always tell you, I don't like these angles. I don't like losing streaks. I don't like guys quitting or getting fired. It's just, one, never give them the chance. And then two, it's never gone well for people. You know?
Like, yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, well, fuck. All right. Everything he said is pretty much true. He's got all the tools. But he's not a big guy either, which kind of sucks. But he is only, 23, 24, whatever he said. So it's like, it's not a detriment. It's just a weird thing to be doing with him. What was the harm in him coming in and just constantly winning and not getting recognition? That's a better story. It's a better story than coming in, losing all the time, and then quitting. So
and saying that you're still the best.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
Like,
so, I mean, it sucks because I liked Evolve. So I liked that. I loved that Austin Theory. He was a dick. And he wasn't mean. Like, he was not mean to people at autograph signings. He was not. But he did do some character stuff while he was doing his autographs. Because Evolve always had like a open time where some of the stars would sign autographs.
Uh-huh.
He kind of keep in character sometimes. Not to the full extent of what he was. Because there's no way he could do that. So, I mean, I guess he could if you're MJF, but he's not. So, but
yeah, commit to it, man. Go Daniel Day-Lewis on your character. I'm with you. Losing streaks just aren't good for anyone. But when you're getting a taped segment, you're coming back. So it's just okay.
Hey, you remember when Ron Simmons got fired on SmackDown? Guess who never wrestled again? Mark Merrow is another big one. Nope. And I know these are old. I get it. But the whole point is, don't let him do it. Miro now, but Rusev. He lost that match to Bobby Lashley. And that was it. You never saw him again. Don't give him the opportunity to make you look terrible like that. So,
yeah, well, I can not see him again, and I'd be completely fine.
Yeah, so, but But no, it's just very strange. And I don't know why that decision was made.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, as much as I'm for thick boy Bronson Reed being on my TV, but yeah, having him beat Austin Theory twice when he's already beat him recently, really, it doesn't do anything for him either.
No. It just seems like they're just stuck. Like, Bronson Reed's like, they're like, okay, he's a big monster and this and this. And again, dude, it always feels like we would know more about these people if we had a crowd. To see who people like, to see who people actually want to cheer for. So, you know, it's, I don't know. Like, oh, what'd you think of the Thatch Kent?
I will say that I think people have caught on. I don't know if you mentioned in text message about most of the noise being piped in.
Yeah.
But I have enjoyed, and I think I mentioned this to Chris on Tuesday, that people have started to do more of a thumbs up or thumbs down kind of situation to, voice their approval. And I am all for people pulling an old school Eric Nelson and just having their thumb down at a wrestling show. When they're not enjoying a segment, that is some classic stuff in my book.
Well, okay, so I hate to burst your bubble, but that's like the audience coordinator telling them to do that.
They so have people on the Zoom. People, they have people talking to the Zoom people.
Yes, there is a producer that says, we need you to cheer for these people and boo these people. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Why the fuck would I know that?
I don't know. Yeah, they...
No, I don't have the time to read that level of inane bullshit.
Yeah. So when they first started that Thunderdome stuff, that was the big complaint. Like, these aren't real reactions. And it's like, well, if we see people's real reactions, you see the people just sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, they're just sitting there doing nothing. So.
Yeah, well, not that a live crowd is all that much better sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's... I don't know. Like, I haven't done... I FaceTime with my parents once. I'm like, this is goofy shit, man. Like, just sitting there staring down at a phone or something. I mean, can you imagine you're the, I don't know, some people, I mean, that's what people do now, is they always record themselves doing stuff, so I guess it's not that different, but
no,
it's very weird.
I know a lot of people that only do the video call thing, and my parents are not they have gotten around to figuring out Zoom calls, I think, for the grandchildren. But they're still not terribly politically politically, good God, completely wrong word, technologically savvy.
Yeah.
So I don't. I just go El Clasico phone to talk to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all right, so, like, and like that kind of situation, I understand, but, I mean, imagine you're watching, like, a movie, and you got someone in your ear, like, telling you, all right, guys, so when this scene comes up, you need your laughter to be really big. You know what I mean? It's very weird.
I guess I wouldn't want to agree to that. You know, if that's part of the, hey, this is the only way we're letting you on TV, or to be on one of the screens, I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess you don't have to, because if you look at some of the people, they aren't doing anything. So,
well, that's true. Like, there are still a lot of people just sitting there.
Yeah. So, which, I see that more on Raw and SmackDown when I watch those shows than I do it on NXT. NXT, they seem to be pretty evolved. Whether that's from the coordinator or not doesn't matter. So, at least it's not some guy just staring at a screen the whole time. And that's it. I guess it's kind of awkward.
But, yeah. Most of those people don't have big reactions at a live show anyway, so I don't know what they were expecting.
Yes. The days of the big reaction are gone for WWE. I mean, I don't know why. I know why. The product's not good. But, you know, NXT was still getting them. And I don't know. But they're like, there's certain things. Like, that's what I was asking, not if you heard me earlier. Like, the thatch can.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I went in another direction thinking about the crowd stuff.
I enjoy these. It's the only time I've ever seen Timothy Thatcher have a personality. And I was really cool being an Evolved fan, seeing Anthony Green out there. And he didn't look like a total piece of shit either, so that was kind of cool. I mean, of course he tapped, but I mean, that's going to.
Yeah, I liked the segment live better than kind of the nameless faceless stuff that they were doing with him.
Live of course, but I still like those old vignettes because it still gave you something.
Oh.
You know, it gave you an idea of what he was, and then this just kind of shows it.
Right.
So, he's just a bully.
Yeah, I think it just drove it home a little bit more to kind of go back to your Million Dollar Man reference previously. Like, even though there isn't a big crowd there, just kind of having it out in the open kind of helps drive home a point. Yeah. I guess that, you know, yes, this guy really is just a dick. So yeah, it was an enjoyable moment. Like, he still needs, like, I guess I feel like it's easy to know his character, and they've really kind of that might be the only thing I didn't like about it, is that they've kind of made his character pretty clear and pretty one note, and that's okay. But, you know, he's another guy that's kind of lost a bunch of the higher-ups for the most part. And hasn't been in the ring much.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of needs that. Even if he's tapping out, what'd you say his name was? Anthony Green?
Yes.
Yeah, even if he's tapping out the Anthony Greens of the world, I think that would be beneficial. Like, for some reason, he hasn't been in that many squash style matches. He came in because who did he? Oh, he took Pete Dunne's place. Memory serves. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had that many singles wins, and I think that just even a squash winning streak would be something that would be useful for him to have on TV at this point still.
Yeah, the whole Matt Riddle thing going to SmackDown kind of shot that in the foot. So, and that hasn't, well, no, now it's Raw, and it still hasn't worked out that great. So,
yeah. No.
When I saw Matt Riddle lose clean to Baron Corbin, I just went, well, he's done. Like, and I know you shouldn't think that way, but whatever.
Oh, yes, you should think that way, 100%.
I think that's when I kind of got into, like, I got away from watching Raw and SmackDown. I was like, I'm tired of seeing the people I really like come up and just do eat shit. And for the same old people. So, anyways. And then we had the big main event angle, which, it was funny, because I actually got on Twitter, I was checking for something. And, oh, I want to see people's reaction to Jericho. And I was, oh, shit, I got to get off this thing. And I saw our friend Steve.
Uh-huh.
He posts, who's your favorite wrestler that never wins a match? And he put Oney Lorcan. And I was like, you know what? I never thought of it that way. I don't know if I've ever seen him win a match. I don't watch 205 Live that much.
He's awesome. Few and far between.
Yeah, I mean, I love Oney. He's great. Or Orny, sorry. And
no, it's Oney.
Yeah, I thought I had it right the first time.
Yeah, it's like the Johnny Cash song.
But I just, I don't know. He's plain, which of course isn't going to go over well. But he's still got enough of that psycho that you're like, oh, there's still, you know, there's something here.
He's one of those guys that he really knows how to lay it in, and he does make his size less of a problem because of the style. Like, both him and Danny Burch, like, they really sell being tough, even though they're like 155 or whatever they are. I'm sure it's more. They're probably like 185 or something like that. But, you know, they just really, I think their build helps out because they are a little bit shorter and they're both kind of stocky for their height. And, but yeah, just their offensive moveset really kind of makes you believe them being tough.
Yeah.
And,
they're just constantly fighting all the time. Now, except for that one unfortunate segment where they're at a bar drinking water, which I guess could have been vodka, but it didn't fit the characters, but, yeah, I've always liked them. And it was funny, they even mentioned in the context of the match, I think it was Wade Barrett was like, they've always been the bridesmaids. You know, never the brides. And
yeah, that was another underrated part. I know that I told you I was surprised by the ending, but they really played up Oney Lorcan and Burch. Good God. but they really played up on commentary their underdog / you know, can't quite get it done role. And then with the help of one Pat McAfee, they finally got the job done.
Yeah, when someone attacked, I went, what the hell is this? And you can see he had kind of a beard. And I don't follow anything Pat McAfee does outside of the angle he had with Adam Cole. I don't care. So when he came out and I saw the guy had a beard, I'm like, is that Lars Sullivan? I was like, that doesn't make any sense. He's at the front part. So I'm trying to run through everybody with a beard. And I'm like, how could this be? And he had that weird, like, was it Kang or Kano? Kano?
Oh.
From Mortal Kombat?
Well, that was a full mask. Kano's mask was only like half, wasn't it? That was more Phantom of the Opera-y.
Like the metal part and that.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a Road Warrior-ish mask. Not the wrestlers, but the Mel Gibson franchise. And I'm like, who is this? And I'm like, oh, they're going to wait till next week. Okay. And then he takes it off as Pat McAfee, and I just went, what? And that's when I texted you. I'm like, I thought we were done with this goofball. He's a great talker. He had a good match with Adam Cole. Enough. Like, there's weren't you just saying about how, maybe in last week, but it's like, we already have the conclusion, and now we're going to keep going with something.
Yeah, I do. I have some interest just because Lorcan and Burch kind of needed, like, they needed some freshen up. If you don't really want to have, I mean, I thought the one reason I didn't think that they were going to win the match is that they've done a pretty good job of, even though Fandango and Tyler Breeze kind of act like goofballs, they've done a great job of turning them into serious threats. So I kind of expected them to have a little bit longer of a title run.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're running with this type of an angle, it really, like, it helps McAfee get at Undisputed Era through a different route. And it really, like, Lorcan and Burch were just kind of stuck. Like, like you said, like they'd beat everyone else, but then when they got to the championship match, they'd lose. Like, so I don't really want to see them beat up on a bunch of nobodies or trainees or whomever it might be again, and then lose another big match. Like, so they kind of needed something to spice up their act. So I guess I like it in that regard. And yeah, Gargano's kind of doing his own time filler, keep me away from the championship type thing. Well, I guess he's going after the North American championship, but they're still keeping him out of the main NXT championship picture. And they've got to kind of do the same for Adam Cole at this point too. So bringing back McAfee makes some level of sense. I would think that maybe we go the route of the surrogate this time around if they do indeed have some type of a confrontation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess in general, I hope that they don't have another match together. Like, that's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, no. Especially because, I mean, we're going to do War Games and include other people. I mean...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oof. It's a possibility.
I don't know. I'm not exactly overwhelmed with joy about this one, so we'll have to see. I'm going to be open-minded about it because of how good it was the last time, but I thought... Like, when you texted me and whatever else, sort of saw the end comment, I was like, okay. So when I thought, poor Bobby Fish gets hurt again. And then Roderick, I was like, oh, okay, because Kyle's not clear. So, okay. So when Bobby Fish got hurt, I thought it was like Roderick was going to do it on his own, and then something was going to happen. I was like, oh, okay. So when all that happened, I was like, okay, that's better. But it's like, Bobby Fish keeps getting hurt. So I was like, they're not writing them off, are they? Oh, shit. So it was nice to see I was wrong. So,
yeah.
But I thoroughly enjoyed AEW for the odd, the weirdness, and those couple, the good matches, the promos. And at AEW, NXT was right up there with them. So a good night for wrestling. I just wish they were on different nights.
Yeah, that would, when they kept on having to shift them around, with my present schedule, it worked much better. 'Cause I think AEW had to push to Thursday the 1 week, and then NXT was Tuesday for a couple of weeks. I'm like, oh man, this is kind of nice. Like, I didn't space everything out.
Well, apparently everybody else liked it because both shows' ratings went up. So... You know, it's a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah. I do feel like I saw it floated that the WWE might be the first ones to cave and move NXT back to Tuesday nights. Back to Tuesday nights or just to Tuesday? Whatever.
I think just to Tuesday nights.
But... Yeah. But since did the two special Tuesday ones, and I felt like their ratings were better than that they were already, like, I thought I'd seen a story floated that they were thinking about moving to Tuesdays. And yeah, just from a selfish perspective, it would make it easier to watch wrestling for me. So yes, please do that.
Yes, but you know, WWE, NXT, whatever, they're not going to cave.
Oh, no.
They're not going to run off of where they want to be. So,
No, not happening. I didn't put a whole lot of credence in the story, but, yeah.
Well, especially when you don't get, like, the only time the ratings are going to matter right now is when these television contracts come up.
Oh.
So, if it means, all right, we move to Tuesday and we get a point higher, then, yeah, they'd be like, see? This is what we would be doing if we weren't on Wednesdays, whatever. That's what, like, right now, as bad as Raw's ratings are, it doesn't matter right now.
Oh, yeah. Like, everything's getting killed in the ratings. Mm-hmm. So, Yeah, like I don't know what, if anything. I guess I always felt like there are solutions, but right now I'm not sure that there is a solution.
No, not with. I haven't watched Raw in a week and a week, 2 weeks. I think I missed the draft show. Was that was this week, wasn't it?
No, that was last week.
All right, so I didn't see. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks since I've watched. Retribution is still there. It still makes no sense. They still have stupid masks, stupid names. They're fighting from the from what I read. They're fighting the Hurt Business. And then somebody else. They gave away Braun Strowman and Keith Lee on free TV. I don't care if Braun cheated. That was stupid. Your ratings suck. Why would you give everything away? Anyways, whatever. That's why it's never gonna get to be where it was. Because the guy in charge is too spread out and doesn't care and it just doesn't have his finger on anything that's going on right now. Even calling it Thunderdome. That was a badass name in the 80s because we didn't have cell phones or flat screen TVs or laptops for that matter, or god fuck, a goddamn computer for that matter. So we're like, wow, Thunderdome, that's what the future's gonna be like. And now it's just like, whatever.
We know that's not what the future looks like, dude.
Yeah.
And it like you said, like I guess producers or not, it doesn't really add much for me to have people there. Like it's almost more distracting than it is helpful.
Oh, on the TVs?
Yeah, on the
No,
TVs.
yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, although I do have the football game on while we're recording this. Have you noticed in the end zones, there's real people, and then they've packed the rest of them with, like, stand-ups? That's so weird.
Yeah, 'cause Pennsylvania is only allowing 5,500 people or something like that. So it's pretty limited in Pennsylvania there, crowd wise. So it's not surprising that it's a little bit of a mixture of real people and additional cardboard cutouts that you probably have to pay for.
Yeah, well, they actually offered that for Michigan. I don't know if they're, you know what? I don't know if they're allowing people there. Well, won't know for 2 weeks, but
Yeah.
they were actually, you could buy a stand up. You just send a picture in. I was going to get one for my dad for Christmas because
Oh.
once the season's over, they'd send it to you.
Yeah,
So I thought that was kind of cool.
that's pretty fun.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I know Ohio State is not letting people in, so.
No? I figure those bastards let anybody in.
No,
So.
not when we're on high alert. They're at least that smart.
Oh, that's surprising because the way they've been handling themselves through the whole thing. So, Well,
I
I guess it's.
was gonna say, what have they done different than Michigan? Both of them have been bitching that there hasn't been any football.
The Michigan coaches have had no interaction with the players. And there's like video and everything of Ohio State coaches one-on-one with players, no masks on, no protection, none of that.
Oh.
And that's what Jim Harbaugh got mad and was like, we like follow our example, whatever else. He's like, don't be like these guys. And then Ryan Day, of course, gets upset. Why don't you mind your own business? And it's like, well, I'm protecting the kids by doing it. And it just turned into, grown millionaires arguing with each other. So,
Yeah.
and
Don't
real
have
quick
enough
before we
time
go,
to be interested in that.
I'm looking forward to the season starting. It'll feel more real once, they're playing. But, real quick, and this has nothing to do with anything other than commercials during football. Why did we need Jake from State Farm? I'm being dead serious. We already had Flo. We had Dennis Haber doing Prudential, or is it Allstate? Allstate. Then you got Prudential with other
Is
goofy
it's
ads, and then they bring back. Well, no, they didn't. They basically brought a new Jake from State Farm, who's a giant dork, and they're bragging like. And then they give us a gallon of ranch dressing on us. I'm like, this is so, I'm tired of this shit, man. Every single season for football, no matter what you're watching, college or if you're watching pro, they show the exact same commercials.
Yeah, like I guess I understand that there's something to mass marketing, but it does always seem like overkill because, man, the hockey was just the same. When they were doing for the recent playoffs, I was like, oh my God, I want to, like, I would be fine not seeing Idina Menzel ever again in my life, and it would be completely fine.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe we're different.
No, I don't
if
think.
If I see these commercials over and over and over again, I don't want your product. You're bothering me.
Like, well, especially with insurance companies, since like 9 times out of 10, the ones advertising that much are the most expensive ones.
Yeah, well, they gotta pay for all the advertising. I wish I was joking.
Yeah, I know you're not joking, which is why I'm not with any of these companies that are advertising this much. Yeah. You can find
State Farm, but whatever. Our rates went down, so.
Yeah, because I guess my company does advertise. Cause, no, that's... Is it CenturyLink Field out in Seattle? Because we went with Safeco.
Safeco was the baseball stadium. I don't know if it's Safeco.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's why I was connecting it with Seattle. So, yeah, I think we... I'm pretty sure we have Safeco right now. So I guess they do have that, but they don't have... Good Lord, these budgets for, yeah, like you said, State Farm, Allstate.
Prudential, Progressive, no, Prudential, Progressive. Oh, the one with Flo, you got the Geico one, and it's just like, and then you hear the horror stories, like Geico didn't pay out, no, it wasn't Geico. Aflac. That's like supplementary insurance.
Oh, yeah.
But like all that stuff that happened in Japan with the Fukushima reactor, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or was it the – oh, yeah, that was a tsunami as well. Yeah, they didn't pay off like 90% of the claims.
Oh.
They didn't cover anything. And then what's his name? Gilbert Gottfried made a joke about, you know, because he was the voice of the duck or whatever. They fired him for that. That got all the publicity. But yet, they didn't pay off people. So it's like, okay, it is what it is, so.
Yep. And okie dokie, well, to not talk about insurance, that's our adult corner. This would not have happened on Stunt Granny Audio 2 at all. We would not have gotten into a 5-minute discussion about insurance companies. Bell time beer of the show, at least from my end, some additional beers that I got from my brother's, father-in-law is some, BrewDog Albino Squid Assassin, which was a red IPA, red rye IPA, and it was just okay. Not a huge fan. I liked, Tuesday, I had their Elvis Juice, which is their fruited IPA, which is much better. So between those selections, that's the one that I would suggest. But if you're really into rye IPAs, sure, go for it. Rock, knock yourself out. Anything to drink on your end, sir?
No, it's a bottle of water. I forgot to grab a beer. It's probably what got so angry at the end.
Well,
no, I had plenty over the weekend. We did a tour of the Huntersville, Cornelius, Lake Norman area, and we hit all of their breweries but one because my friend locked himself out of her house when he was picking his dog up, so we had to come back. And I hate to report, I wasn't impressed. Like, it wasn't enough to make me drive the 20 minutes all the time.
Oh,
because I'm in walking distance of stuff I love. So, you know.
Yes, I have taken. There might be drive still involved, but I have definitely taken measures to cut back on breweries that that I do not enjoy as much, especially during this this time of not trying to interact with people.
Yeah, it's not that anything was bad. I didn't have anything bad.
Yeah,
but nothing stood out where I was like, "Holy shit, I have to get back up here."
Yeah, and that's, I feel like I kind of hit that with a lot of places now where I'm like, oh, I wouldn't mind testing this out, because there have been a couple of places on the commute where I've stopped that are kind of just off the highway. It's just like, I don't know if this is really worth it. Like, this isn't really worth the stop.
Yeah.
You know, like, I like the beer, but is it worth the stop? Probably not. So, you know, you just kind of move along. There are just some places that just aren't as good as others at this point. There are so many microbreweries, I guess it was bound to happen that they're not all great.
Yes. And I think it's the only way for people to improve are to be honest with them. Like, say, what'd you think? It's like, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was anything special. And if you know enough to talk to them, then fine. If not, just leave it at that. Hey. The last thing you want to do is just tell someone, like, hey, this is really good. It's like, no, then they won't change for the better. So, and yes, I know that, like, you know, people's tastes are different too. So there's that part. But
yeah, I was minorly annoyed at one of the new places here in our neck of, or this side of town. And they didn't have any of their beer. They had zero of their own beers on tap when they opened up.
Wow.
I understand when you do like four beers of your own, because, you know, you're just kind of getting the system underway and you haven't had the chance to brew that many beers. So you just kind of do like your, you know, the best, your best, or your oldest recipes. Having none on the list was like, dudes, like, really?
Yeah.
This, I mean, I'll go back at some point later to give it a swing, but that is definitely not a good first impression.
No, those are always the places like that I go, okay, I'll come back in a year. That's usually our standard rule if it's a newer place.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back in a year, so get your shit figured out.
Yep, so, that's probably what I'll do. I'll probably give them some time to get things straight and go back, and we'll see what happens at that point. So, yeah. Yep. At DeFrank 11, at Granny Maze, brands at Stunt Granny, rate and review, all that other good stuff. Do it. Love you. Night. Bye.
Later.